How many know that we have bought some of our roads 10 times we've paid for the same road, and we're still paying for it again? We're driving our cars over it. Yes, they built it, and our grandfathers were the one with the pick and the shovels, and they did it, and we paid them for it, but we're now repaying and repaying and repaying for that same road. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I don't have to get into all of that for you. All right. I've got to stop for a minute because there was a thought that went right by me. And yes, I remember it now. I want to now speak in behalf of the Jews. And I want you to understand that the Jews didn't do all of these things on purpose. They were ignorant of some of the things that happened to them. I'm looking for the scripture right now. It was about 455 B.C., and the story was that they were leaving Babylon, going back into Jerusalem, and in Nehemiah chapter 8, I will now paraphrase from Nehemiah chapter 8 so that you might grasp what had happened. They, the Jews, spake unto Ezra to bring the law of Moses, I'm paraphrasing, and he read therein from morning until midday. He read distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand. All the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They found written in the law that the children of Israel should dwell in booths, that is, the Feast of Tabernacles, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day, 1,000 years, had not the children of Israel done so. God told them to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. For 1,000 years, they forgot about it, didn't know it. They had been all the way captive back in Babylon, came back, and then discovered what was written in the law, because they didn't have any Bible teachers. They didn't have any Bibles. They didn't know what God wanted. How many understanding what I'm trying to get at? I am excusing their ignorance. Are you with me on this? I'm trying to show you something. They were ignorant because nobody ever told them. They didn't understand. They didn't even know. Because God says, every 50 years, you are to forgive the debts. God says, every 50 years shall be a year of jubilee unto thee. You're to set the captive free. There'll be no more debts. The prisons will be opened. How many know that most people were in prison because of debts? Debtors' prisons. Says you're not to have them, and you're to relieve. And no debt shall ever be, and you cannot accumulate debt beyond 50 years. What's this? This is a 200-year chart. And what does it show you? In 200 years, listen carefully, any family, that's Rothschilds, any group, that's the Masonic Lodge,
there you go, come on, brother.
Any church, that's the Roman Catholic Church.
Amen, brother.
Understanding that principle can own the world. Did you understand what I said? And God said, no, sir, you're not to do it. You're to stop that chart every 50 years. He says, cut it off, stop it, because I don't want slaves to a family of Jews named Rothschild, to a group of people who wear rings, or to a bunch of people in a church that think they know about more about it than anybody else. He said, I'll give anybody 50 years and that's it. And at the end of the 50 years, you got to stop. You got to start again. How many understood what I said? Let's read it in the book of Leviticus. I'm in Leviticus 25 and 27. Here again, I've got to do some paraphrasing because I'm going to go through two different chapters right now in order to get the whole picture. And in order to get this picture, I'm just going to have to jump, so follow me. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound at the Feast of Tabernacles every 50 years. Ye shall return every man to his possession. If the possession has been sold, it shall be returned. The price of a possession shall be counted according to the closeness to the time of the Jubilee. The land shall not be sold forever. Take no usury. All debts shall be canceled. Hired servants shall be returned to their families. Every person shall be set at liberty. Somebody praise the Lord. I'm trying to show you something. God understood this chart. How many got it? God knew what would happen every 50 years. He knew that if we understood the principles, we could put the whole world in our pocket. Now I'm going to appeal to your selfishness. All we need, Brother Glenn, is a dedicated group here this afternoon who realize the importance of this teaching about love and mercy and the kingdom message. And all you need to do is bring your money down here to us preachers. And we'll start a bank with it. And in 200 years, our message will own the world. And we'll set it up so that our children and our children's children that come along will be dedicated to the preservation of our message and the control of the money system, so that in 200 years we'll own the world. How many understood that? It's amazing to watch your lips change from here to here as you begin to see something. My friends, we can't do that. We can't do that. Our God told us not to do that. Because what we would do then is take our present understanding of the walk of God and force it upon people 200 years from now. But that's what the Romans did. Well, you didn't catch that? Don't you understand what I said? That's what the Roman church did. That's what the Masonic Lodge did. That's what the Rothschilds did. And they've been in this competition with each other all these times. I'm not going to try to read you every word in the monarch that I've sent you, but I identify the Masonic Lodge. It's the French connection, and it's in your paper there. And the Rothschilds, we tell you all about that and how they came about. How many have heard a lot of these terms anyway, you see, and how it all came about? Now, so that nobody guns me down between now and tonight's service, does anybody feel like I've been trying to say anything nasty about anybody's group? I'm trying to show you a principle and say those guys were smarter than us guys. And they understood the ways of the world better than you and I do. And God says, here's my method of protecting you. I want you to have a year of Jubilee. And I want you to set the captive free. And you're not to have usury in the kingdom government. Did you understand what I just said? Usury is a god. It's mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I read some Lutheran literature that said the Roman Catholics were mystery Babylon. I've read Roman Catholic literature that said if you take Martin Luther, it comes out 666. Did you hear what I said? Each religious group points to the other and says, they're the bad ones. I think they're wrong and I think they're right. Because I think that Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is not the Roman Church. She's just one of the harlot daughters. It's not the Masonic Lodge, that's a harlot daughter. It's not the United States government, that's a harlot daughter.
Amen, brother.
It's not the Lutherans, that's a harlot daughter. They have all copulated with that woman. I'm using big words, nod your head or I'll explain it. They have all sold their souls to the usury system. The company you work for has sold its soul to the usury system. And whereas the president used to decide how to make more products, they call in a comptroller who decides how to make more money. The president used to try to preserve your jobs, and the comptroller tells him, no, close this plant and build those things down there. How many understood what I just said? For the purpose of any corporation now is not to make products, it's to make money. And pay the extremely high interests that are now available through your banks and through, oh, I don't know, I'm not even going to teach all that kind of stuff, how to make money. You've got a whole newspaper for that. Now, I'd like to say that our United States government is failing, but our nation is not. Do you understand that? Our government is failing. Every 200 years, every government has failed. How many think they know why now? Not because the government is any better or worse than any other government, because the government plants within itself its seeds of its own destruction based on a simple arithmetic curve. And every nation has done it. The particular nation of which I have interest at the moment is France. The year was 1780. The man was Napoleon. Napoleon was an interesting character, for he was an Italian. Strange twist of fate or destiny, that the Italian became the Emperor of France. Pope Pius VII went on December the 2nd, 1804, to Notre Dame to crown Napoleon the new Emperor of France. During the ceremony, Napoleon took the crown from the Pope and placed it on his own head. As a symbol that there was no one higher than he. Relationships between Napoleon and the Pope began to disintegrate. By about 1808, Napoleon had annexed all of the, the Papal States that the Pope owned at that time. Do you remember that back in those days, the Pope actually owned and was the king of certain areas of Europe? Well, he was, if you don't remember it anyway. Napoleon annexed the Papal States in 1809. Pope Pius VII excommunicated Napoleon thereafter. Napoleon set up the Banque de France, which was to be a new national bank with the French national interests. Within a short while, we now have three major forces. The Jewish bank holders, the Banque de France, and the French Cohorsens, or something, that's the best way I can say it right now. It's what turned into a lot of the lodges later on. These people were in opposition one with another for the control of the monetary systems of the world. The Lombards, a family of northern Italy, became the Italian bankers and set up their own bishops and cardinals within the Roman Church. And the Lombards, how many have heard of the Lombard family? We have a few who know what I'm talking about here. Then became the head of the Roman Catholic banks. And it was the Lombard family who last year were in a real terrible banking scandal when that got out about the Pope's banks. Does anybody remember about that last year? Well, I'm talking about 700 years before, but it's the same connection. Instead of the French connection, it's the Italian connection now. Well, by now you've decided either this guy is about the dumbest guy you ever heard of, or he's been reading some books. You've decided that this guy either knows what he's talking about, or you wish you were somewhere else this afternoon and don't know how he got brought here. What I'm trying to say is that our God has been in control over time, and he sets up the basis of men, just like Nebuchadnezzar said, to rule over us, to cause us to come to our knees. And now I'm trying to put the B right on it, your worst enemy, Mr. and Mrs. Christian. For you Protestants, you thought it was some Catholics. For you Catholics, you knew it was the Lutherans. For you, help me out now. You know what I'm trying to say, don't you? But what's the enemy of this nation? What's the enemy of this world? What's the enemy of the Christian society?
The usury system,
Is mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the world. And all of the other problems that we are in can be traced directly to the usury system. Did you understand what I said? Directly. All of the problems, the love of money, which is the root of all evil, can be traced directly to the usury system and what it produces in governments and in men. God warned us about it. He said, don't ever do it. Knowing that we would do it, he said, all right then, you must stop it in 50 years. We ignored that. Four cycles of 50 or how many? 200. By that time, it's too big to stop, and therefore the failure of the nations have to take place, and a whole new government comes out. Now, in one case, it might be called the American Revolution because of the heavy taxes that were brought on the English. Within 20 years, you have the French Revolution because of the heavy taxes that were brought by the French crown, or call it what you want, but every 200 years, every nation takes us right down to our very knees, wiping us out, giving us then another chance to start up with a new nation and a new form of government. By the time we come up with a new form of government, about 2 or 4 years later, we find that those same old sneaky guys have come in and taken over the banks for another 200-year cycle. My question now, friends, is, are we ready for another old-fashioned 200-year cycle? Or shall the manifestation of the sons of God take place, which will deliver this world from mystery, Babylon, that harlot and mother of harlots and abominations of the world? I'm pleading with you to take your 12-page monarch, go back home after time goes on, study it carefully. Don't believe a word I said. Check it out. Look in encyclopedias. Check these things out because I've given you a marvelous history. How many feel like they've been in a history lesson? How many things have learned some things here today? All right, today. It's been a valuable learning session. God warned us about it, said don't do it. I gave you a simple arithmetic chart. I showed you how it works. I explained why it's impossible for you and me to live in a system of usury. Why that system has to go. There has to be a brand new system. Now, the only way that can take place is for you and I to understand it and explain it to other people. How many understood what I said? For if the people of this nation understand the principles, if this 12-page monarch and the principles, forget the religious stuff, forget all that. Let's talk about right now patriotism. Let's talk about a nation of people. Let's talk about a government that needs to have a monkey off its back. There's your answer right there. You can't have a cure until you've had a diagnosis. And while our government is pointing to everybody else and everything else, saying that's the reason for our trouble, how many can see, without going into much detail, that obviously Mystery Babylon is the trouble? It's the reason for the trouble of the nations. It's the reason for the churches. It's the reason that our churches make their decisions on bottom line, on money, instead of the value of souls. And you know that a lot of church boards decide whether to pave the parking lot or not on whether or not it will bring so much money back into the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's the same training that they got at work. See, I got this training. My brain has been trained in these kind of thinking. In what they call management control in one of the large aerospace companies. And I've made these kind of decisions myself. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about books I've read. I've participated in the decision making in the corporate rooms of the big corporations, and I know how decisions are made, and they're made on bottom lining everything. As do we make money or don't? We don't care how many people are out of work. The question is, do we make money? Because we've got to make money. We've got to feed this terrible beast, this usury system that we've gotten ourselves into. So churches make the same decisions. All kings, all nations, denominations have come into the same thing and have participated with this harlot woman. How many understood that out of the book of Revelation? And so now I want to pray, and when I pray for you, I'm going to pray that our God will give you wisdom as to what to do with this information. There are some people who can very succinctly and speak a word of gold in a pitcher of silver and make a just word fitly spoken and say it rightly and relieve us of these problems. Does anybody feel like I'm mad at Masons? Do I speak disrespectfully of Roman Catholics or Jews? Has anyone ever heard me speak disrespectfully? My best friend's a Jew. Oh, you got that. All right. Yeah. Well, and so I don't speak disrespectfully of anybody, but how many can understand how hard it was to teach this lesson? Because we're taught to not use these terms. We're taught to not talk about Masons. We're taught to not talk about Roman Catholics. We're taught to not talk about Jews. But I had to give you a history lesson and show you what's happened. And show you what's happened in this world. And tried to show you that you and I have the opportunity of doing the very same thing. If you and I would make a decision to work together for the next 200 years, and so, in one family, they called it the cousinhood. And the Rothschilds, the Montefiores, help me out, Mike, what else are the other names? A bunch of families decided they would intermarry, and they would have the marriage brokers always marry their children within those families, for those were the only families that would be rich and rule the world. And if you want to read books about it, your libraries are full. Or if you want to just look up the word Rothschild in your encyclopedia, and it'll explain the principle of what they did 200 years ago. Just so happens that it was 200 years ago, you see, when they did it. How many are seeing that these things fit? And you study the Masonic Lodge, and you'll find out that your Knights Templar were 200 years ago. You study the Roman Catholic Church, and I gave you the dates, and the Lombards really took over 200 years ago. What is he trying to say? That these are the three forces that are in interplay right now for the world's control. And each force right now is advertising that they're a righteous force. That they're doing things for our benefit. And that has to do with another subject that really opens up a can of worms. I can't do it. It's a little late right now. But maybe we'll talk someday about a benevolent dictator, which is the only workable form of government. Whether you caught that or not. Benevolent dictator is the only workable form of government. It's the only way the kingdom will be established. It's the benevolent dictator, not democracy. You didn't catch that? Never did they ever take a vote in this book when the vote was right. In every case they ever took a vote, the vote was wrong. Tell the truth.
Amen.
So don't you think that democracy is the way for the kingdom to work. Stand with me and I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. Change us from what we are to what we ought to be. Lord, we pray that the words that have been said here is kind of a downer to this afternoon. We know that. But Lord, we've been reading the last chapter and we win. And so, Lord, we pray that every one of us who have our faith, hope, and trust in our government systems, in our insurance policies, and in our places that we work, we'll transfer that faith, hope, and trust to somewhere where it can stand, where it'll last, where it'll be forever. We pray that every person here will say yes to Jesus Christ. Every heart will say yes to Jesus Christ. That no one will get out of here without Jesus in the Spirit. That every spirit will be touched and the strings will be strummed with the instruments of harmony. That Jesus enters every heart spirit. We pray that every soul mind will change from what we are to what we ought to be as the Holy Ghost engrafts upon these minds every word that's been said here, and that things that even haven't been said will be engrafted as we remember what Jesus told us. Now we pray that every body will stand as a candidate for every change necessary so that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebar Bible School.